Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So somebody said to me the other day, saying that everything's perfect in the present moment. So this is their understanding of mindfulness, and mindfulness is a kind of cure-all, really. You know, as long as one's mind is totally in the present, then that's it. That's the mind is at ease, peaceful. There's no more problem. Everything's perfect. So is this what the Buddha meant by mindfulness? Yeah. Is this the end of suffering, actually? So it can seem so in that present moment. It can seem so. If actually that present moment does seem perfect, that moment of mindfulness seems perfect, then yes, it can seem, oh yes, this is it. This is what the Buddha meant. Here we are in the perfect, eternal, present moment. But is this so, actually? So what about this present moment? Let's look at what we're experiencing in this present moment. Experiencing sounds and touch, taste, all the senses, aren't we? Looking out through the senses at the world. Actually, the Buddha points out very strongly, he keeps pointing out, is, well, all these things are impermanent. The world's impermanent, the mind's impermanent, the senses are impermanent. So there is no refuge in these things of the senses, in mindfulness of the things of the senses. There can be, because none of these things are permanent. Nothing is permanent. Is it? A very simple fact, and yet it cuts extremely deep. It's an undeniable fact. Yet it can also be the fact that we can miss in the present moment, isn't it? Hone our mindfulness and miss the fact that actually these things are impermanent. And stay in the present moment, forget the future. A cynical mind could say, well, yes, mindfulness would be good right now. It's an uncertain world, isn't it? Looking more uncertain, climate change, or this kind of thing. Well, all of a sudden the world's looking a very uncertain place, fundamentally uncertain, more uncertain than it's ever seemed. And is the answer just to stay in the present moment, forget about the future? Is that the answer? It's some kind of answer, isn't it? It can be more pleasant if the mind is going to worry about things it can do nothing about, then perhaps it is more skillful to stay in the present and just do one's best. There's truth to that. And the establishment of mindfulness is an important aspect of Buddhist practice, and the enjoyment of mindfulness is an important aspect. Often what draws people in, keeps them going, is just enjoying just this much, just being right here in the present. Very pleasant. The quality of the mind, brightness of mind. All these things, even this brightness, is impermanent. And this is why the first foundation of mindfulness out of the body is so important. It helps us to we don't fall into this one. The body is unique in that we can see the impermanence of the body right here in the present moment. All the other phenomena that we can see, the phenomenon of mind, feelings and thoughts, can see the impermanence of them over time, or the things of the world. We can see the impermanence of them over time. The body is the way that we can see impermanence right here in the present. See that the Pachupandhamma, this in Pali, the truth of the present moment, it's right there. You see, you can see the impermanence of the body. That's how it's subject to old age and sickness and death. You can't escape these things. You can think, oh, well, this could spoil everything. This just spoils everything. Yet it doesn't spoil everything if we can let go. This is what the Buddha is encouraging us to do, to let go in the present moment, not to hang on in the present moment. Look for ourselves, this perfect present moment. Is it perfect because... is it perfect through hanging on, or is it perfect through letting go? Which one of these? This kind of consideration. See that the mindfulness, right mindfulness, is to see the impermanence of things. See the impermanence and therefore the suffering of things. It's to see their suffering that helps us to let them go. And we don't need to feel that suffering either. We can actually protect ourselves from the feeling of suffering through the perception of suffering, through seeing suffering. If we see suffering, then we don't have the suffering, is what Lord Porcha used to say. If you can see the suffering, you won't have the suffering. This is unassailable. This kind of mindfulness is unassailable. Whereas mindfulness, these things seem perfect in the present, and then what happens when the future comes along? What happens when the pretty girl walks in? And the mind leaps into the possibilities of the future, can't it? Passion enters into the mind, and then there's a completely natural, normal, voluntary, reflex movement of the mind into the future. Something that we dread, a soldier with a gun walks into the room. Fear of death, all of a sudden. So in a relatively safe situation, well then yes, things can seem quite perfect in the present, isn't it? But are we deluding ourselves? Have we really let go? If we haven't, then that mindfulness is vulnerable, still vulnerable. The way we practice is to establish our mindfulness and then to strengthen our mindfulness through contemplation. Not to just enjoy our presence of mind, take refuge just in the mere presence of mind, but to see the permanence even of this, and then to take the mind further. This is what the Buddha taught. Our ultimate refuge is to do that, to release the mind from all these impermanent phenomena, to detach the mind from them, from all these dependent phenomena, not dependent upon consciousness, consciousness of the body. What happens to this perfect presence of mind when you're asleep? It's not there, is it? It's kind of obvious fact that we can miss. You know, we can get a good practitioner, wake up in the morning, yes, here I am, I wake up in the morning and establish my mindfulness, and I feel good. It feels very good, great. And we think, oh yes, so this mindfulness, this is a stable state, this is who I really am. But where is it when we're asleep? So actually this is human consciousness that we're experiencing, which is dependent upon a human body. And we then develop this, through the practice we can gradually develop this consciousness to be independent of a human body. And this is the real end of suffering in the long run, the long term. So what the Buddha pointed to is the final end of suffering. And of course in mindfulness this is the path, and the enjoyment of mindfulness is a very important factor. So everything's perfect in the present is a rather nice way of putting it, isn't it? Be careful that we don't become deluded by that. So after this few reflections.